Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, except Andrew's off today. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew, and we're going to start off the show today with an interview that Andrew did a couple of days ago. We aired it yesterday morning at 7:30-ish, so if you, I know a lot of people here right now aren't up usually or you know, aren't listening at that point in time, so we wanted to air it because it's the interview with Eric Winstrom, the new Pensacola Police Department chief. And it's a pretty good interview as we get to know the new Pensacola police chief. Of course, I'm sure he'll be a regular guest on Andrew's show as we've had in the past. But it's a good interview to get to know him. And a lot of people's questions and concerns, I think, about him were answered in the interview, I believe. So let's go ahead and air that for you right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Am I saying it right?
You got it.
He is the chief designate. I don't know what the exact title is because you've been appointed but not confirmed yet. You'll be the chief of Pensacola Police here shortly.
Right. Yeah.
So before we get started with anything else, I got to get the important stuff out.
Okay.
You were in Chicago for 21 years. Mm-hmm. Cubs or White Sox?
I'm actually a Yankees fan.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm sorry.
No. Next, you're going to tell me you're a Giants fan, too.
No. Might be worse. I'm actually a Buffalo Bills fan.
Oh.
Yeah, I was born in Buffalo, New York.
All right, so that's it. Yeah, Eric, nice to know you.
Nice to
So I grew up in Detroit and also Chicago, but I fell back in love with baseball in St. Louis. I'm a Cardinals fan.
Oh, okay,
so,
all right.
But you know, we'll let that
slide.
We can
still be friends.
Since we're in the vicinity, I know this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's getting to know you stuff.
Yeah.
Since you lived in Grand Rapids and since you lived in Chicago, but I guess you said you're a Bills fan, so neither Bears nor Lions.
It's been a tough couple of years because all my Chicago friends love the Bears. All my Grand Rapids friends love the Lions. So I try and support both of them when it doesn't conflict, which is hard, since it's in the same division and everything. But, so it was sad to see both of them get knocked out of the, as well as sad to see the Bills get
Everybody but, right?
Yeah.
All right, last sports question, I promise.
Okay.
Do you have a college football team?
Well,
because around here... you're going to have to find one.
I'm going to have to stick with the college I graduated from, which is Rutgers, the Rutgers
Scarlet
Knights.
All right.
Even though
I went to Illinois. You're in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. We don't have, 2 years of my college time, we were 0-11, our football team. So
sounds right.
We don't have the best track record, but I got to be loyal.
So let's start with some of your sort of personal background. I think it's really interesting. You're from, is it New York originally? Where were you from originally?
Born in Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
then,
from New York.
Lived in Austin, Texas for some years of my youth.
You have some Southern in you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And
How long?
Parents actually lived in Austin for probably 30 years, but I was there for about 5 years.
Okay.
Then I went to high school and college in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then moved to Brooklyn, New York, and then moved to Chicago.
And law school was in New York?
Yeah, yep.
Not Rutgers, though. Where'd you go?
No, I went to Brooklyn Law School.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, as I understand it, there was something happened with your brother. There was some kind of charges or whatever, and he was the reason you didn't like how he got treated, is the way I took it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that led you into the law in an effort to reform policing.
Exactly right, and that's from when 11 years old, we were living in Austin, Texas, and it was the 80s, and the 80s was not a time you wanted to be selling drugs in Texas, and he sold a very small amount of cocaine, not that I'm an advocate for cocaine, but 11 years old, I love my brother, and...
He was 11, and he sold...
I was 11.
You were 11.
I was 11,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's my big brother, he's the reason I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. So.
All right.
And he got sentenced as a young man himself, granted technically an adult, but he was sentenced to 10 years in prison for selling one bag, a very small bag of cocaine to an undercover police officer at a bar.
Yeah.
And I just saw it as fundamentally unfair. And really my the worst impact was the what I saw my mom went through. And obviously we would go to visit him in prison every Sunday, load up the car and go out to Huntsville, Texas, which is where his prison was, and just devastated her. And that devastated me. Mm-hmm. And seeing my, you know, talking to my brother behind a glass, had a real impact on me. And didn't like how the war on drugs was being waged. And I felt a lot of sympathies for my brother who had some dependency issues. And then having him come out of prison then, he did less than 10 years. He was on parole for that whole time, but he agreed to a work program where he did, you know, 2 years or 2.5 years. Came out, and then good luck finding a job, you know, in the 80s and the early 90s.
Check the box, right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So, seeing the struggles he went through, I was not a fan of the police. I was not, I was a kid that in high school, police would come speak to our class, and I would challenge them. I'd push back, and I'd say, you know, that I think the war on drugs, devastates families, separates families. I think it's unfair, and so that stuck with me, and of course, thought I knew everything when I went to college and kept thinking I knew everything when I went to law school and I was going to change the world. And I ended up in the New York City Police Department's Legal Affairs Bureau with a section of attorneys that just fired police officers through their administrative process.
This is not IA, but it's like operational arm of IA.
Yep, yeah, IA takes the case and hands it over to this group. It's called Department Advocate's Office. And they, you know, sometimes it was we're suspending a guy for a year. Sometimes it's we're firing them, but they're entitled to a hearing. And these are where the prosecutors in the hearing. Mm-hmm. And the one that I was partnered up with happened to be a sworn police officer who went to law school, became a police officer. His name is John Perry. We could do a separate radio show about John. And I'll just tell you real quick. John went to Columbia Law School, graduated, joined the police department, and was just going to do 5 years there in New York. If you do 5 years, you can retire. You can get a retired ID and, you know, a star and a tiny pension. But then he was going to go be a lawyer, and he went. His last day of work was September 11th, 2001, and he was one of the 23 NYPD officers who walked out of One Police Plaza over to the towers, and he was killed that day. So very, very interesting guy himself. But he pretty much told me I was an idiot, you know, and that I was a kid, I didn't know what I was doing, and if I really wanted to change the world in policing, I should consider doing it from the inside to get that legitimacy and get really the understanding of all the positive in policing. And since then, obviously, I fell in love with policing. It truly is a calling. And
so your background is alienated from the cops, had an older brother who got arrested for minor possession amounts and sentenced to a long period of time, went to law school to fight against crime fighters and put them and get rid of them and fire them, got convinced to become a cop. You become a cop, you work in Chicago, a notoriously challenged place and department. I grew up in Downers Grove, Grove North, so I'm from there. You work there for 21 years. You're working child crimes at one point. You're working the projects at one point. You're working on the consent decree development when that department is getting in trouble with the Department of Justice. And then you go to Grand Rapids and become police chief. I mean, there's surely no chance that 15-year-old Eric Winstrom ever imagined he'd be the chief of police in, you know, Grand Rapids or Pensacola, Florida. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely fair to say. Yeah, it's as much a surprise to me as anyone else.
You hated the cops at a young age.
Yeah.
What's changed? I mean, what is your, like, how much, I know that's a grand question with all the experience you've had, but what now do you think about police?
Oh, I think it's the best, the best, for somebody like me, if I had the mind to be a, you know, a brain surgeon or something else, that was as meaningful to me, like I could see how there's other jobs out there that are me. But for me personally, it is a job that I can find the most satisfaction in, of having the chance to have a positive impact on somebody else's, someone else's, on the world, but also on someone else's life.
I think it's also fascinating because I hadn't known the history about as much with your brother, but when I think about kind of your experience set, the working in the projects to me is a big plus. Coming to our area, we have a lot of, you know, poor people, we have a lot of minorities. Also, and it doesn't mean they're the same, but it means you've got experience working with some of the more difficult elements.
Yeah.
And same thing with, you know, visiting the jails is you've you know, cops should understand what it means to be an inmate. I mean, that's absolutely, that's the end result of what you do so much of the time. And, you know, having a sensitivity for that, or a sympathy at least, you know, to understand what that means to people's lives, means that you enforce the law in a, what I would hope would be a fair and also even a gracious way, because you think about, what is this doing, not just to this person, this victim, but this family, this community.
Absolutely. Yeah, very insightful and 100%. And that translates not only enforcing the law, but how we, you know, look at our unhoused community. I know there's a there's a level of individuals who don't have a door to lock here in Pensacola, and same with obviously Chicago and Grand Rapids. And not to get all religious, but when I hear their stories and talk with them, I just know it's there before the grace of God go by. That could be, very easily could be me. It could be a family member of mine. And certainly it's the same way with crime. Now, there are instances in my career where it's been a very bright line. You mentioned the child sex crime team that, that I worked in Chicago, and I had no sympathy. It was, this person needs to be in prison or worse for the rest of their lives. But generally, the world is not that black and white, and it's not that simple. And so having empathy as a police officer, I think, is one of the most important things. Otherwise, you're in a, you get into the, a rut where it truly becomes a, like you're an occupying army, and you're mistreating people, and that's bad for everybody. The second you become an, the second it turns into us against them with police versus everyone else, that is a recipe which we saw, I saw early, especially in my time in Chicago. That's just a recipe to lose, to never gain any trust, and it becomes a more dangerous city altogether.
You you mentioned religion. You can feel free to pass on questions that I ask you, but
you, you, ask you
man of faith. You...
I am. Yep. Mm-hmm, yep. I'm a Christian. I believe in the power of prayer. I'm very thankful. A lot of people that I've met here, so they're praying for you, and I think that's probably why I'm here today. I was raised in an evangelical free church, which is sort of like the Norwegian version of a Baptist church. Even though I, my heritage, I'm Swedish from a few generations ago.
And your wife is a cop too, right?
She was, or a police officer. Yeah, she was a police officer for 13 years.
In Chicago?
In Chicago. I actually met her, if you don't mind, I'll tell you the story. I was a brand new detective.
People in Pensacola will love to get to know you.
Oh, well,
and,
great.
I mean, I'm, you know, we'll have plenty of time, and we'll probably talk about some of your kind of policy stuff, but the kind of my goal was just so people know who you are. I learned coming here 12 years ago that they're very open to people coming from the north or elsewhere. I'm not from the south, but they definitely love to know you.
They want to know the story.
And they want to know you love Pensacola.
Yeah.
That's a very important thing is, you know, well, what do you, you'll get asked 1,000 times, what do you like best about Pensacola? And it's good to have answers.
Very good. Okay.
So, so yeah, your wife, you were saying you met her how?
I was a brand new detective. In the Chicago Police Department, and I sat next to not a brand new detective, a detective who had over 30 years on the police department. It was 27 in homicide. It was her dad. And most of the time, the old homicide detectives wouldn't talk to us new detectives. We didn't earn our time yet. You know, I probably had 5 years total on the police department. But because my cubicle was next to his and computers were sort of a new thing to homicide detectives, he would lean over and ask me, hey, can you help me with this Word document? You know, I lost this. So I'd go over, help him with PDFs or whatever. And Rachel, who is his daughter, was a brand new police officer and would call her dad and ask questions from the, you know, cell phones were just coming into play. And she's on the scene of a, you know, whatever crime it is. And, hey, Dad, what should I do? And he oftentimes would be like, you know what? I haven't been on the street for 30 years. Hold on, let me give you to this kid next to me, me. So I would talk to her and answer her questions.
So he set you up.
Yeah, he set, and fast forward. Now we've got a 12-year-old daughter, a 14-year-old son, and we've been married over 15 years. And
she's retired from the force, or she still works?
She left after 13 years. Yeah, okay. I got extremely busy. Obviously, I moved my way up through the ranks.
This is when you're in Grand Rapids? Or, no, you'd still be in Chicago.
Yeah, we were still in Chicago at the time. It was right before the riots in 2020. She put her papers in to retire just so that I could, you know, I was moving up through the ranks and kept getting more responsibility and working very long days. And the timing was perfect because the riots happened and I didn't have a day off for months, probably.
I have to imagine, it's not that common for cops to be married to cops. It's not that rare, but it's not that common. But I imagine as a cop, as a detective, as a, you know, chief, there's got to be something really nice about you don't have to explain
That's
what
it.
You do, the challenge, the fear, the risk. You don't have to, you don't have to overcome that with her.
That's it. When I get a call at 3 a.m. in the morning and I say, babe, I got to go, she doesn't say, well, hold on, what's this? She gets it. She doesn't even need to know till I'm sure she'll ask the story later, but she understands. It's a lot of times you see police couples, you see police officers and, you know, and firefighters or police officers and nurses, the same sort of, we all work 24/7. We get it that the schedules are crazy and it's a different lifestyle. And if you're not used to it, it can be a challenge.
This morning you met with PPD before, you know, earlier. What'd you tell them and how did they, you know, how'd they react to you? Because I can imagine they reacted well or they could react poorly or that, you know, there's been a lot of discussion around your appointment, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, what'd you tell them and how'd they react?
Well, fortunately, during the interview process, I had the opportunity to meet with a whole bunch of them. They invited into the roll call room. I think anybody that was around that could go, they packed that room and were able to ask 45 minutes, pepper me with questions. And a lot of those same faces I saw today. They want to know that their police department's going to be well taken care of. I can tell they really care about the city. They really care about the police department. They really care mostly about their coworkers, and they want to make sure that this stranger who's coming in gets that and has that same care and love for their coworkers, the police department, and the city. And so that's pretty much what I'm just reassuring them. I get it. I've been through this before. The truth is, I can't say trust me, because I know how cops are. Cops are cynical. Cops are not trustworthy. Just because of everything we go through, cops are going to be skeptical, and you got to earn their trust. So that's my message is just I'm going to earn your trust. I'm going to be the hardest working police officer there, and give me time to earn your trust. That's exactly what I intend to do. I'm not going to come in and, you know, I demand change of this. I'm going to learn, going to be very careful to learn all the positive aspects about the culture and all the good that's going on. I can see already just in the, you know, 90 minutes or so I spent over there that they have a very professional police department, a very strong foundation, and it's going to be great. I'm so super excited.
What would be success for you here in Pensacola?
Success looks like, for me, a few years down the road, when my kids are about to enter the workforce, that they say, I want to get a job here in Pensacola, that there's jobs for Pensacola, I want to raise a family in Pensacola. And why that makes sense as success as a police chief is because I think policing, the success of the police department is tied directly with the success of the city. No matter what, you know, show me a police department that has no trust across the country, an urban police department that's not appreciated by the city, that's not trusted, that crime is high, and you just won't find a successful city.
Right.
Show me a police department that's trusted, that crime is low, and those are the cities that the jobs are coming to, that the opportunities are coming through. So success for me is a few years of my kids enter the workplace and hopefully start families of their own, that they choose that Pensacola is going to be the place they want to be.
I know when I think about your background, I see all kinds of, you know, positives. The background with your brother is, to me, because of where you are now, that's a positive. Yeah. The background of working in the projects in the big city, in the inner city, is an advantage. The lawyer stuff. You know, I see a lot of things that it's dimensionality of experience. You know, if somebody has grown up and they've been a cop their whole life and that's all they've known, they can be great, but there's, until you've done a thing, you don't really know a thing, and you've done a lot of different things, and even having been opposed, I view all that as very positive. A rich chief who's going to understand why people hate cops. They're going to hate why, or they're going to understand why some people might be distrustful. You know, and you're going to understand bad cops because you worked on that, you know, finding them, getting rid of them, preventing that from happening, dealing, just all of that. But I also can imagine that for some people, some cops particularly, might make them a little scared of you because it's like sort of like you come from the other side a little bit. You know, the IA guy or the lawyer guy or the guy who grew up and admits he didn't like cops.
Yep.
I don't know how much I can trust that guy. Do you get that response from people where they're a little unsure because they know some of your background?
I get it. And I'll give you an example. I get it until I'm tested and I have a chance to prove otherwise how much I love this profession. And that came, in Grand Rapids very early on. We had a very high-profile officer-involved shooting, which we made national headlines. And since then, we've had 10 other officer-involved shootings. And we've had other challenges, which the media, came at us skeptically or attacked the police department and the whole police.
I think in your interviews you said this was one where you were brand new chief basically, and you stood there in front of the crowd at city council.
That's right.
And listened and let them yell at you.
2.5 hours I stood there and had people say the worst things about me and my family and everything else, because I thought it was the right thing to do to show that I'm not going to leave the police officers there on the line to take that abuse. Not that they can't handle it and they're not used to it, but I want to let you know, lead from the front. You get a lot of police chiefs that'll say, oh, I lead from my front. Let me tell you about all the doors I've kicked in, all the arrests I've made or whatever. And that's, you know, actual nuts and bolts police work experience is important. But the most stressful situations aside from life and death situations are these, when you get challenged by, you know, at a protest, when I'm, I've stood shoulder with some of my African-American brothers and sisters. And when you're a black officer getting told you're a traitor to your race, you know, and here I am being called a Nazi or whatever, just for wearing a uniform, they don't know me, you
right.
know. They don't know me as a person. I can't imagine how difficult that would be. So that was something that I know if I ever have a chance to take that pressure, to take that vitriol, I think that's definitely the chief's job, whether it's getting out in front of the media that's challenging, that doesn't quite understand, that needs to be educated on police procedure because they think cops did something wrong and they didn't. And it's easy, I guess, for a police chief to say, you know, I'll have your back when you're in the right. That's a lot of times you hear that. I'm telling the police department, look, I'll have your back when you're in the right and when you're trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of time it's the public expects police to be perfect, always expects us to be perfect, and always expects us to be getting better. It's one of the few professions, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, you weren't perfect today? Like,
right.
We are judged by our losses, not by our wins. We could go on 1,000 calls and handle them perfectly, and, you know, 1,001 goes south, and it's a viral video, and see, police, they're always doing this.
It's like umpires, you know?
Yeah.
They make a bad call, that's all you know them for.
Yeah.
Right.
So one of the culture changes that I brought to Grand Rapids was that the culture there in that region of the country was pretty much not talk to the media, and just any question is, oh, it's an open investigation. And that, mm-hmm. getting back to the first officer involved shooting that I handled in Grand Rapids, I looked at the video and I said, okay, the most important thing we can do here, so we're never going to be able to make it any better. A young man lost his life. We got to make sure we're not making it any worse. And the way to do that is we're going to get out there as fast as we can, answer every question that we can, and be as transparent as possible. And there was a lot of skepticism in the police department.
Sure.
And the way it went was, you know, there was some large protests, but there were no riots. There were no arrests related to protests. There was, it was the most peaceful response. And on both sides of police supporters and police critics, they said, well, the police department handled the aftermath just fine. And the police department saw that and said, all right, we're going to give this chief a little bit more leeway and a little bit more benefit of the doubt, and I just built on that through every challenge.
Social media and the rumors are way worse than the facts in the video will ever be, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, and as you know, news is going to be on whether the police are part of the story or not.
Right.
When there's a police
story, might as well
be
part of it.
Yeah, they're either going to have the 100% non-police version of the story, or if you want to give your perspective. So I always try and say, if I'm available and it's a police conversation, I always try to say yes to the media, and that's a culture change that I brought to Grand Rapids.
I know you got
to
run, so we're totally out of time, which is fine. We'll talk
a bunch
in the future. No, it's not. But just one last quick thing. You know, what's your one thing you want to tell Pensacola? People who have never heard of you, people who thought you did well, people who didn't think that you should have been hired. What's the thing you want to tell them that maybe they haven't heard you say?
Let's see, there's between 50 and 60,000 people in Pensacola. I think I can meet every single one of them, and that's what I want to do. I want to meet everybody in Pensacola.
Okay.
You know, don't make your basis on social media. Just hopefully everybody gives me a chance. I am going to work the hardest of any employee in the city, and I care about this city very much. I'm moving my kids down here, my wife. I want to make this my forever home. And I'm excited to be here, and I look forward to meeting everybody.
Outstanding. Chief Winstrom, congratulations on getting the appointment. Good luck on getting the confirmation. I wouldn't expect that to be a challenge, but you never know.
Never know.
You know, those are things. And welcome to Pensacola. Let me be the first to say we're glad you're here.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. That was an interview Andrew had with the new Pensacola Police Chief, Eric Winstrom. He had the interview a couple of days ago before he left for vacation. We aired it yesterday morning, 7:45, but I know a lot of you are not awake and didn't have a chance to check out the podcast. So I felt like it was a really good interview. I wanted to be able to air that. I think it answered a lot of people's questions. Some people were like, why would he leave a police chief job that he had in Grand Rapids, a bigger city, the whole works? And he just said right there at the end, he wants to make this his forever home. And, I mean, look, somebody said yesterday in a text line, why would you leave, you know, why would you leave such a good situation? And I'm like, well, have you been to Grand Rapids compared to Pensacola? Like, to me, it's not even a question. I'm like, yeah, go for it. So and then at the end, you know, he's going to be one of the hardest working guys. He looks to try to bring culture change. We have some challenges here in Pensacola. We've had some challenges. We've had officer-involved shootings. He's got experience with this and how to I liked one of the things that he said right there, how to not make things worse. You know, somebody already lost their lives. How can we move forward without making things worse? So I thought that was a positive line as well. All right, we're running late. I was going to go ahead and get a news update from Dave Wayne over the newsroom, get some of our sponsor mentions, and we'll be back right here on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew.
Good morning. It's 5:36 here, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 31 degrees, partly cloudy skies here across the area. Just taking a quick look at a couple of our national headlines since we missed Fox News there. Senior officials from the U.S. and Iran are meeting in the Middle East today to discuss Tehran's nuclear program. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Trump advisor Jared Kushner will be meeting with Iran's foreign minister for those talks in Oman. The U.S. is demanding Iran stop enriching uranium and curb its ballistic missile program. Team USA is ready to take center stage. The Winter Olympics officially get underway today. Flag bearer and speed skating star Erin Jackson says the moment means a lot to her. That opening ceremony begins at 2 o'clock Eastern. That'll be 1 Central. The White House reiterating President Trump wants Congress to pass voter ID legislation. The president made comments this week that suggested Republicans should nationalize elections. Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt says she spoke to President Trump about what he really wants. He said he wants Congress to pass the SAVE Act, which would require proof of citizenship to vote in federal elections. Turning now to our local news, Escambia commissioners heard hours last night of passionate public comment on customary use for beaches on Perdido Key. Property owners and beach access advocates are sharply divided on this issue. Gary Holtz says he's used Perdido Key beaches for over 60 years. He told commissioners he represents hundreds of thousands of Escambia County residents.
I represent 300,000 Escambia County citizens that have been using this beach. I'm 67 years old. I've been using it for 67 years. This 2018 bill came upon us 7 years ago. I'm 67 years old. It didn't seem like that long ago that I turned 60. So 7 years we've been fighting this customary use to take away our rights to go on the beach. And it's a no-brainer.
And property owners warned of expensive lawsuits and liability concerns if the commission were to pass customary use ordinances. Joseph Kleinpeter from Indigo Condominiums called the proposal, quote, really bad policy, said it wouldn't achieve the goal of increasing beach access. The meeting grew heated at times as well, with personal attacks on Commissioner Steve Strohberger, who has said he would be against customary use. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves delivered his State of the City address last night. The 90-minute speech covered public safety, parks, the airport, and a lot more. The mayor highlighted the Direction 25 initiative, with more than $21 million going towards repairing and maintaining city parks. The airport will get 5 new gates and safety upgrades totaling $134 million. Police and fire employees will also be receiving raises. The mayor also welcomed new police chief Eric Winstrom. It is 5:39 here, News Radio. Let's get a check on our forecast.
We are starting off with some cooler temperatures this morning in the 30s, but we are going to warm up as we head into the afternoon, getting into the 60s with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will start to drop back into the 40s as you wake up Saturday morning. For Saturday, we will have sunny skies, winds out of the north with a high near 61 degrees, and Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got at 5:40, it is 31 degrees right now with looks like mostly clear skies. And our next news is at 6 a.m. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your now. Amazon is following the footsteps of fellow tech giant Microsoft, and not in a good way. Shares of the company plunged more than 11% after the retail giant reported fourth quarter earnings that missed expectations. The bigger jolt, however, came from Amazon's enormous capital expenditure projection, $200 billion. And more from the retail giant, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy told investors that he's confident the company will see a return on its massive investments in artificial intelligence. The company boosted its 2026 capital expenditures to $200 billion, with most of the spending going to data centers. Roblox has reported results for the fiscal fourth quarter that beat consensus estimates. Roblox's fourth quarter bookings increased 63% from a year ago, while the company reported $316 million in net loss for the quarter. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 592, the NASDAQ down 363, the S&P 500 down 84. That's your money now.
There's no championship league for small business owners, but if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro. Lenovo, Lenovo.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at vaxassist.com. That's vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday morning, get your run on in the Double Bridge Run, one of the premier 15K races in the country, going across Pensacola Bay and Santa Rosa Sound. It gets underway at 7. See PensacolaSports.org. It's Mardi Gras fun in Navarre. Saturday beginning at 1 with the annual Crew of Jesters Navarre Mardi Gras Parade. The theme this year is the celebration of 250 years of American independence. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need.
You actually need.
So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning news with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Super Bowl and the Olympics both good, coming up this weekend. I mean, the Olympics technically already underway. Opening ceremonies come up tonight, or actually not tonight, in a few hours. And so, but we've already had some of the things going on. Best way to figure out what's going on with the Olympics, what to watch, when to watch it, how to watch it, just go to Olympics.com. You go to Olympics.com, they have a where to watch the Olympic Games, they have the whole schedule and things like that. The cheat sheet of where you can quickly watch it, first of all, streaming. You can watch anything on the Peacock Network. It's on streaming. I actually don't know. I didn't look this part up. I didn't think about it until just now. I don't know if they're doing it for free, or do you still have to subscribe to Peacock? Do you know, John?
I don't know. I subscribe to it, so I do not know. But we can look it up.
That's what I was thinking, too. Sit here. Everybody, the streaming home of the okay, let's just sit. No, yeah, you gotta. As soon as I clicked on it, it says get started. It has you choose a plan. So, okay, so you do have to, you will have to subscribe if you do there. You can also just go, so anyway, you can go to Olympics.com. All the streaming is on Peacock. If you're on TV, it's on NBC's properties, which includes USA Network, NBC itself. And, boy, there's a whole bunch of other things. You can also go to NBCOlympics.com as well. It basically has the same thing that the Olympics.com has, but it shows you for your area what the NBC channel is, like what the number, you know, which one it is. So you'll have, like I said, USA Network, NBC, and there's other ones too, I thought. But anyway, they'll have it all on there. All right, so, and then it has the schedule. Like, for example, today at 4:35 a.m., I'm trying to figure out, you know, the central time, Eastern time. 4:35 a.m. was the figure skating, pair short. Women's short comes up in an hour. Then it looks like we've got curling coming up. Czechia against the USA. The whole thing's there. Rhythm dance, pair short, men's snowboard, big air coming up later today, women's short. And then the Olympic ceremony begins at 12:40 our time. Is the Olympics ceremony.
Wait,
then
you
I
mean
it
comes on at like
played tonight.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know if you meant like it's going to play today at 12:40 and then re-air tonight or.
Yeah. So it's going to be aired live at 12:40, you know, during the middle of the day. Cause it's in Italy. And then it'll re-air tonight at 8 p.m.
Gotcha.
So you'll be able to watch the opening. So if you're at work and you can't watch the opening ceremony, they're going to re-air it on NBC at 8:40. So there you go. So yeah, you've got the whole, that's the way you can catch up on all the Olympics. Just go to NBCOlympics.com for the schedule that way. Now, when it comes to the, well, let's see here. What else we got here? Oh, I do have a story pertaining to the Olympics. Let me share this real quick. The Olympic medals are the most expensive medals to date. Now, of course, most of the athletes are not going to buy the medals and just scrap them, right? That's not going to happen. But if they did, if they did choose to do something like that, which would be nuts, but if they did it, what would it be worth? The gold medals, $2,300. Silver medals, $1,400. And the bronze medals, $5.60.
Right? $5?
Yeah. They're actually... So here's the thing. So... The gold medals are $2,300, but they're not solid gold. Just the outer layer is actually gold. The rest is actually silver. The silver medals are $1,400, and they are solid silver. That's the only one that's like solid silver. Then bronze medals are actually not copper. I mean, sorry, they're not bronze. They're made of copper. And so, yeah, that's the reason why those are only
$5. So. I guess we have a lot of copper left over, you know, from not making pennies anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we'll sell it to you cheap.
Yeah, exactly. So that's your Olympic Super Bowl 60. Super Bowl LX. Super Bowl 60 coverage begins at 1 p.m. as far as the pre-show and all that stuff. But the game itself begins at 5:30 our time, and the game's going to be in San Francisco. The matchup is between the Patriots and the Seahawks. You can watch this also on NBC. Man, NBC just hit the lottery this year, didn't they? So you can watch the game on NBC, or if you want to watch it in El Español, Telemundo. Then you can stream it also on Peacock, but also on NFL Plus, YouTube TV, Hulu Live, Fubo TV, and Sling TV. Halftime show is going to be Bad Bunny, and there's a lot of information about the Super Bowl. For example, when asked about the Super Bowl, 47% of Americans don't care who wins. 29% are rooting for the Seahawks. 16% are pulling for the New England. Overall, this year is probably the biggest year that we've had a kind of an attitude of meh. So this is kind of the meh Super Bowl. It's a I don't care. And so people will still be watching it, but not as many as in the past. Then, and like I said, most people just kind of like don't even care who's going to win. Only 29% are pulling for the Seahawks, 16% for the Patriots, 8% aren't sure. The rest are like, I don't care who wins. So there you go on that.
I'm just here for the food.
That's what I was going to bring up next. It's interesting. Super Bowl Sunday is the second biggest pizza day of the year. I figured it would be the biggest pizza day. That's kind of interesting.
Second?
Yeah, and you know what the first one is? Take a guess.
New Year's Day.
You got it.
Oh, I was just guessing, literally.
How did you figure that out?
I was just literally just throwing something at the wall.
You guessed it right. I would never would have guessed it. Oh, my goodness. All right, yes, it is New Year's Eve, actually.
New Year's Eve, okay.
So the top states for eating pizza on the Super Bowl Sunday is top five, Ohio, four, Florida. Yeah, that's us. Yeah, Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Delaware is the highest top areas. So that's kind of interesting. Top areas for eating pizza on Super Bowl Sunday. Then what are you doing if you're not watching the Super Bowl? Some of the people polled said go to the gym and hope nobody else is there. Others said I'm going to go to Costco. It's empty. It's a great time to go to Trader Joe's. It's the only time it's not packed.
Right.
We don't have Trader Joe's yet. We need to get Trader Joe's.
Yeah, we do.
Get a dinner reservation at one of the hardest spots around. Others said we're going to actually have our Valentine's Day on Super Bowl Sunday because the fancy restaurants don't have TVs. And they're usually dead, and you get great service, and you don't feel rushed.
That is smart.
Go. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty smart.
Then you got one over here. I'm going to smoke a Super Bowl. Huh? What does
ooh,
that mean?
Whoa.
All right. It's Pensacola.
Let's go
Pensacola
deep.
Morning News. Pensacola Morning News. Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi. Actually, I do have some information about Super Bowl ads. It leads me into an AI discussion. Uh-oh. We'll talk about that next on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Oh, we already put all the spots? All right, good. Well, good. I can get I have more time for what I was wanting to talk about. AI. So, Super Bowl ads are when you look at the trend, what's going to go on? It looks like an uptick in tech ads. There's going to be like 16 ads pertaining to tech, 15 ads pertaining to food and beverage, 5 ads pertaining to financial services. Then 4 pertaining to health, 3 on consumer packaged goods, and then 2 on media, betting, advocacy, telecom, auto, retail, and travel wraps up the ads there. However, apparently, when it comes to tech, AI chatbots are all going to have Super Bowl ads. Yeah. OpenAI, which is ChatGPT, Anthropic, which is Claude, Gemini, Google, Amazon Alexa Plus, they're all going to have Super Bowl ads. in this thing. So, wow. All right. So it's a battle of the AIs trying to get people convinced. I got to admit, like this past year, I've been using AI for a few years now, but this past year I have ramped up my AI usage with ChatGPT. I actually went ahead and subscribed because I use it so much. Same thing with Claude. And they have different purposes. Each one has different purposes. So we're going to see that happen. Now check this out when it comes to AI. There's a Reddit clone. So Reddit is a social media thing, right? A social media thing. And there is a Reddit clone that is called Moltbook. You can't join it. It's a social media site for AI robots. Say what? Yeah. Some guy launched it as a way for bots to communicate. It's read-only for humans. Only AI agents can post, comment, and vote, and millions of bots are already on it. What? So freaking weird.
And they're arguing with each other, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've been discussing everything from movies to sports and the meaning of life. They're even creating their own language. Oh, boy. And then, oh, it doesn't get crazy enough. There's another site. Rentahuman.ai.
What?
Oh, I know what you're thinking. Like, oh, finally.
I know, right?
There's a site that's promoting that, you know, go get humans instead of going and getting AI to do everything for us, right? Well, here's the thing. The rentahuman.ai is actually for AI bots to hire you to do work. You heard me right. It's for AI bots to go, you know what? I'll hire a human to do this. What? Yeah, because I guess it's things where they don't, you know, there's things that need to be done in the physical world, so they need help with. Oh, my goodness. As of last night, 150,000 people had signed up to be rentable. The site refers to them as Meetscape workers, or Meetspace workers. Meetspace. I don't want to be referred to as meat by an AI bot. Maybe that's just me. I'm a prude because I don't want to be referred to as a meat space.
Well, their website says robots need your body. AI can't touch grass. You can get paid when agents need someone in the real world.
Yeah.
And there's become rentable and browse humans. So the bots are going to browse humans?
Yeah. Yeah. The bots are going to hire us.
Wow.
This is the world we're living in now. This is so freaking bizarre.
175,023 people are now rentable.
Oh, it was 150 last I checked. So there you go. Nice.
175,023.
Wow. So wacky. All right. Some random facts here for you. There hasn't been a U.S. president under 5'9" in over 100 years. The last one was William McKinley. He's 5'7". Joe Biden was 6 foot. Donald Trump, 6'2". I'll tell you what, from meeting Donald Trump, he seems taller than that.
Seems a lot taller.
He seems 6'4". He just stands very tall. Then let's see here. There is another random fact here. In China, Guardians of the Galaxy is actually called Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team.
Do what?
That's... Yeah, Interplanetary Unusual Attacking Team.
Okay, that didn't translate very well, did it?
No, it didn't translate well. It didn't work out so well, did it?
No.
Oh, well. There, today, in 1988, was the day that the NBA All-Star Game Slam Dunk Competition happened when Michael Jordan beat Dominique Wilkins by dunking from the free throw line, if you remember that iconic moment. That happened then. So, yeah, pretty cool right there. Then also today in history, this was when the Philadelphia Eagles, New England Patriots, who are in the Super Bowl this weekend, defeated the Eagles in 2005 to win their third Super Bowl in 4 years. So, yeah, we've got a lot of Super Bowl-related things that happened today in history as well. Then... coming up next hour, because we're starting to run out of time here. Coming up next hour, I do want to talk about, we got a legislative update to cover, but I also want to talk about the housing crisis a little bit. There's a bill that's been proposed that by Jimmy Patronis, our congressman in the area, that will try to help deal with the housing crisis. We talked about one of the bills already yesterday, introducing ADUs. But there's another bill that's for first-time homebuyers that will help out, supposedly. But we'll talk about the overall housing crisis. We'll also try to get into the economy a little bit, as well as theater. New things in the theater this week as well. So we got Super Bowl, we've got Olympics, we've got new movies in the theater, all kinds of stuff. And then the economy. You know, yesterday was a massive report.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.